Please start the recordings and let me know when you're done. Thank you ever so much.
You're welcome. The recordings have begun.
Thank you very much, India. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the IGO NGO Curative Rights Protection PDP Working Group call on the 28th of January 2015. On the call today, we have Petter Reinfors, Gary Campbell, Paul Pattersfield, George Kirikas, Osvaldo Navoa, David Cake, Phil Corwin, David Heasley, Val Sherman, and Jay Chapman. We have apologies from David Maher and Kathy Kleiman. And from staff, we have Mary Wong, Steve Chan, and myself, Natalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Petter.
Thanks. Petter Reinfors here. So, first, are there any updates and statements of interest? I see no hands up there. So, actually, what we are going to discuss today is the preparation of our face-to-face meeting in Singapore that, you know, is on Friday, February 13th. And I saw that Osvaldo will unfortunately not be able to join us in Singapore. Is it either not physically and not online? Osvaldo? I presume it's none of that. So, just looking at the agenda, first of all, this is going to be a closed meeting, and I hope that's okay, just to that we can be as efficient as possible and discuss everything face-to-face within our group. But what we also discussed on a preparatory meeting earlier today is that the possibility to invite IGOs and GAC participants as observers. We think that could be a good idea to have the possibility to inform them of our work and also to have the possibility to get at least informal responses at that full-day meeting. If we invite them, will probably not be so many participants from them, but if we have the possibility to have, let's say, three or four, it's better than none. And as I said, we'll then have somebody that we can discuss directly with. Is there do you all agree to that? So it seems. I see no hands up. Just going quickly through the agenda, welcome and introductions. Develop group agreement on ground rules for the day, then to discuss a little bit further of how to add something in the at least the explanatory text of the UDRP thought experiment that we sent out for the last meeting we had. And the meaning with that is, as said, not to put any text into the policy as such, but to find out some way to clarify in the specifications and the explaining text. And then a discussion on the working group's conclusion on which IDOs would be qualifying IDOs, where we have to discuss the GAC list versus the six-tier database based on the Paris Convention. And then also to commence discussion on sovereign immunity issues, referring to the IDO's response, as we have to get a sense of where we are on this topic. And also, when we're talking about responses, we have not, as you can see, put in on the agenda a specific point to go through the responses we have received so far. I think we have received 3 or 4 responses so far. But we found it more efficient to have those responses in mind and to refer to them when we go through each specific issue, to also refer to what the responding groups have stated on each question. And then, well, after lunch, we continue the discussion on this issue. And then end with commence a discussion on the merits of amending UDRP-URS versus the new dispute resolution policy, including possible mechanics for IDO filing, per George's suggestions. And as said, again, here we will probably also mention and refer to the responses we have got so far, as they each refer to the points on the agenda. And before we end the meeting, next steps, including review of the meeting and what we suggest, also taking a poll on where we stand in order to get this a very efficient day. So, any comments, suggestions?
Peter, it's Jim Bykoff.
Yep, Jim.
Just 2 points or clarifications. Is there a meeting next week or not because people are traveling?
I suggest that we don't have a meeting, a full meeting next week.
Okay. And the second
because,
thing is...
Yeah, sorry, but just because that's, I mean, it would be next Wednesday, and that's on the time where I presume that some of the participants have already started the travel to Singapore. So, yep, go ahead.
Okay. One other question. We have the responses from the IPC and the ISPCP. Who else? I think you mentioned you had some other responses.
Yes. Let's see what we have. Yeah, we have also the IDO small group response. I don't know if Mary, what can I say about the responses? Are there any further that's coming in?
Peter and Jim, no, as far as I've seen, besides the IGOs, it's the 2 constituencies that Jim mentioned. That doesn't mean that we will not get anything between today and when we meet face-to-face. And of course, we'll notify the group if and when we do receive those. But at the moment, those are all we have.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. It's Jim Bykoff again. If any do come in, could we make sure they're distributed to members of the working group, even though some of us may be traveling?
Jim, absolutely. The minute they come in, if any.
Thank you.
Peter here. I see from the chat that George asked if it's possible to start the meeting earlier in the day in Singapore. I presume that at least you you suggest 7 or 7.30, and we start 9.30, so there's some time in between there. I guess that we could start a little bit earlier at least. Mary, again, do you have any comments on that?
Peter, I had my hand up for a different point, so...
Okay, go ahead.
But on this point, we are checking right now because obviously there are questions about room availability and whether it's been used the night before and it can be turned around. In principle, we can probably start earlier. I know David's comment in the chat, so I guess I would have a question back to George and others who are participating remotely. If we did a compromise between, you know, 7:30 and 9:30 and did a like an 8 or 8:30 a.m. start in Singapore, I don't know how that would go down with folks, but that would be my suggestion, that something like 8:30, so an hour earlier than scheduled, whether that would be acceptable. I know also Paul's question in the chat about the responses being distributed. I believe both the IPC and ISPCP responses were sent to the mailing list, Paul, so I will double check and I'll resend those to you anyway. And Petal, I said I have my hand up for a different point, but I don't know if Phil or others want to follow up on these questions, so I will stand down for the moment if you'll come back to me.
Mary, Phil here. On the timing of the meeting question, with all due respect to George, I would not want it to start before 9 or maybe 8:30, and I'll explain why. At that point, I'll have already been in six straight days of meetings in Singapore, probably working 8 to 10 hours or more per day. That Thursday night is my last night to get a decent night's sleep because I'm departing Singapore the next morning at 7 a.m., which means I have to leave the hotel probably in the middle of the night. So, so far as I'm concerned, starting at 7:30 or something is just out of the question, just in terms of physical stamina and need for sleep.
No, I feel better. I perfectly understand that. And I don't know if it would help to start 9, at least half an hour earlier, or if it's possible with 8:30.
I wouldn't mind 9,
I think it could be,
or maybe 8:30, but certainly no earlier than that.
If we're not talking about that very extensive change of the time of the agenda, maybe if you could, Mary, if you could check up if 8:30 or 9 would be possible, and send out to the full list. And if we don't hear anything, we will just say that these are the time that they'll stick to.
Sure thing, Peter. We'll let you guys know as soon as we find out anything. Like I said earlier, some of these things are not within our control. So even though I hope you know that the policy staff are willing to start whatever time the majority or the consensus wants to start, it may not be something that we can actually deliver, but we will check.
Yeah, thanks. I'm fine with that. Mary, did you have another topic also?
Yes, I did. And it was on the first topic of the agenda, and I just wanted to draw people's attention to this idea of the developing group agreement on ground rules for the day, which is part of the introductions that we have for the first half hour. I know that David, Petter, yourself, and Phil, and a number of others on this call have gone through some of the facilitated sessions that we've done, you know, at various ICANN meetings. And with our professional facilitator, the idea is that because we want to get the most effective and efficient day out of all of us as possible so that we feel that for that one intensive day we've actually made good progress, then maybe the need to set some ground rules. But those ground rules have to be set by the whole group. So an example of group agreements for those who may not have participated before, been familiar with the sort of facilitated sessions that we do, it might be, you know, a rule about whether and when you can check your emails, of stepping out of the room, order to speak, and that sort of thing. We are trying not to obviously impose those rules, because I said it has to be set by the group, but I did want to explain better what that particular topic line meant about developing a group agreement on ground rules, and I hope that helps. Thanks.
Thanks, excellent. And also, we will have, I'd like to have a preparatory meeting now on Monday to finalize the details, and directly after that we will send out to the full group any other changes and additions to the agenda, including, of course, if there has been any changes with the times. Okay, so any other comments on the topics of the day? So we have gone through the parts of the agenda, and personally I think this seems to be good ground for a very efficient day, where we can actually also end with making some conclusions so to speak, informal voting on how to proceed. Okay. Yeah, I see some questions here on we will have the AC room. And dial-in details for remote participation will also be sent out to the mailing list over the next few days. That's excellent. And as I started with, I hope that we can have some participants from GAC, so that we can have inputs and thereby also make this meeting so efficient as possible. This is a good reason we have a full day, that we can meet together and go through everything, and also make conclusions on that day on specific topics. Okay, so that's the agenda for our meeting. And of course, we will have Saturday morning information with the Geneso Council on the work we have done so far. and I don't know if we'll get some inputs from that meeting also, and perhaps some questions from the council that we can also bring to the Friday meeting and inform you about. I turn off, Mary, do you have any further? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So I've just been Natalie and I have just been following up and discussing the Adobe and remote participation set up for the face-to-face meeting. I think as most folks who have participated remotely at ICANN meetings before will know, at times the setups for the Adobe Connect rooms are a little bit different from what we would have in our regular working group meetings because of the necessities, needs, and expectations of the ICANN meeting. So there may well be some differences, but we can assure you that much, if not all, of the functionality that you're used to, such as, you know, the main screen, the agenda and notes, the chat especially, and you know, raising hands, et cetera, I mean, those are basic features that will not change or go away. We note that George has asked a question about video. So these are some of the variables that we will confirm with our IT folks. But just so you know that the basic configuration for the Adobe Connect rooms is pretty much set for the meetings. So any sort of specific requests or variables or changes are things that we would have to go through our central IT support. So we will check on some of those functionalities and get back to everybody, but I thought it might be helpful to raise that now, especially for folks who may not have participated remotely before. Thanks.
Thanks. Heather here. And also, for all of us to prepare for the meeting, I just remind that please, when it's sent out again, read through the responses we have got so far, and as said, we will hopefully and likely get some more responses the next few days. Bill, do you have any further comments?
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I believe we gave them till the 29th, so I wouldn't be surprised if we got a few more in. Of course, we'll at the appropriate times in our face-to-face, we'll integrate the comments we receive where they're relevant to the discussion. Other than that, I have no comments. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone who will be in Singapore. I hope that I think we can make very substantial progress at this day-long face-to-face meeting and hopefully conclude our discussions on standing and move on to sovereign immunity and be in position to, get to the finish line and deliver a final report and recommendations, I would think, sometime early to mid-spring, certainly before the mid-year meeting in Buenos Aires. So I think we've all been doing hard work and a good job, and look forward to seeing everyone in common and all the people are going to join remotely. And to those of you traveling, safe travel, and see you in Singapore.
Phil, Jim Bykov, one brief question.
Yes.
On the IGO small group, do we know who's in that group? It seems as though it's just called the IGO small group, but we don't know what entities form that group. It would be good to know that.
Yeah, I don't. Mary, do we have a list of the actual members of that group?
Thanks for the question, Jim and Phil. I don't. As a matter of fact, I have a confirmed list, but my understanding is that that group, at least in part, is comprised of some of the IGO representatives who have been active on the issue within the GAC and at ICANN, including in the original PDP that Jim and others participated in.
Yeah.
So that list would include WIPO and the OECD, amongst others. But I don't have a final or confirmed list, but I do know for a fact that those two organizations and others are involved.
Okay. Well, since you're going to be reaching out to them as well as to GAC members to invite them to observe this face-to-face, maybe we could ask them at the same time who exactly participated in the drafting of that communication they sent us, so we know which IGOs they're speaking for.
Right. And so two things in response to that. So I will certainly do that because, as you know and Petter knows, staff has started coordinating with those of our colleagues, especially in the Geneva engagement office, who have been, you know, interfacing with the IGOs to try to get that. And also, secondly, my understanding and ours, I think, generally, is that irrespective of who those representatives might be, that they do speak for the so-called IGO coalition, who had sent in comments, first of all, to the original PDP report from the last time we looked at protections generally, preventative and curative, and also to the issue report to our working group on the curative rights issue as well. So for what it's worth, my understanding is that they do speak for the IGO coalition, whoever those may be, which broadly represents the IGOs who are active in the GAC. But nonetheless, we will try to find out as much as we can.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Yeah, that's also my conclusion that they have, apart from the members of that group, they have communications to other representatives. So it's and it's I mean it's a group that actually deals specifically with these kind of questions. So it's good to have them participating. Okay.
Sorry, Petter,
well,
it's Mary again.
Yep.
I'm sorry to be speaking so much, but if I could just add on.
Absolutely.
If I can just add on to what you just said, and I think Jim and others are familiar with this, but for those who may not be, having participated only in this working group, and obviously for purposes of the transcript, I felt that staff needed to add that when we speak of the IGO group of representatives or the small group or whichever term we're using, we ought to remember that their activity, and Petter, as you noted, they've been pretty active and involved, spans not just the issues that we in this group have been chartered with, but, you know, generally speaking on rights protection for IGOs in the legacy and new GTLD. So they are involved in the outstanding issues and the reconciliation of GAC advice with GNSO recommendations from the last PDP as well. So my understanding, again, is that they are pretty active and that there's a number of things that they are, you know, keeping tabs on, but I thought for purposes of comprehensiveness, if nothing else, I should add that. Thanks.
Mary, Jim Bykoff, thanks for that clarification. But in the interest of transparency, I think it would be good for us to know exactly who prepared that response and which IGOs they are speaking for.
Absolutely, Jim. And we'll certainly do our best to get at least the IGOs who are represented on that group. And as Phil noted, since we're going to be reaching out to them, I don't know that we will have any problems in getting a sense at least of which groups are in that group. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Excellent. Any other comments? Okay. As I said, we'll send out an updated agenda next week, in the meantime, before we see each other in Singapore, please also take a look of the responses we have got so far. So, see you soon, and have a nice and safe trip to Singapore. Thanks for today.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. And yeah, you may now stop the recordings. Thank you.
You're welcome.